We continue today with the great Advent figure of St. John the Baptist, most famous for appearing as the forerunner to Jesus, the Messiah, and going out into the wilderness proclaiming, "Repent. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And amazingly, people went out. If you've been to the Holy Land, Jerusalem is in the central mountainous area, and John the Baptist was down in the Jordan Valley, a decent distance, a day's journey from Jerusalem, out in the wilderness. People actually were so curious about what this message was that they actually left the comfort of Jerusalem and journeyed across the wilderness to go see John the Baptist. Now, it's interesting because politicians would love to have that kind of draw today, to be able to get people to just leave their homes even to come see them. And we do often see a little bit of this hysteria around famous people and movie stars and things. But what was it that John the Baptist was doing that got people so excited? He wasn't promising them anything. He wasn't there to reassure them even. Rather, he was telling them that they needed to change. The word repent literally means to change. Metanoete in Greek means change your mind. Literally, a change in mind leading to a change in action. John the Baptist was saying, you can't stay the way you are. You have to change. And then for those who got up the courage to say, yes, we want to change, he baptized them. Not the sacrament of baptism that we know in the church today, which was only possible after the death and resurrection of Jesus, but a symbolic washing, indicative of their desire to be clean of their past life and to start anew. This is the great opportunity that there is then for us during Advent. John the Baptist's words are also for us. Repent. Be made clean of whatever you've been doing. Start over. Take a new path. And that's why on this third Sunday of Advent, we can rightly rejoice. St. Paul says, rejoice. And I'll say it again, rejoice. The Lord is near. It might be hard for us to imagine rejoicing always. After all, it seems like if we look around, there's so many things going wrong in our own lives. We might not feel very happy right now. Maybe there are all kinds of difficulties in our families and in our world. And yet, St. Paul tells us to rejoice. That's because rejoicing is something very different from just being happy. A lot of people spend a lot of time in their lives trying to be happy and think that, well, more of this or more of that will make me happy. What St. Paul is talking about is a deep peace, knowing that indeed the Lord is near. Jesus is with us. And so it doesn't matter as much what the world does to us or what our circumstances might be. We know we can rejoice. We have a chance each day to repent, to turn around and follow Jesus. So as we come to this second half of Advent then, in fact, we're more than halfway through now, drawing towards Christmas, we've also entered the year of mercy that Pope Francis has proclaimed for the upcoming year. Just this last Tuesday on the Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception, we inaugurated the year of mercy, and in Rome, the Holy Father opened the Holy Door in St. Peter's Basilica, and here in Washington, Cardinal Wuerl opened the Holy Door in St. Matthew's Cathedral, but also in the Basilica, the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception. And I was there on Tuesday when he opened the door, and it was kind of interesting because the Cardinal opened the door and unlocked it and then went through, and then all the priests got to go through. So I got to be one of the first people to go through the Holy Door. But it's kind of interesting because we're processing along and all the priests are going through, and then I get finally my turn to go through the Holy Door, and we just stopped. Like the whole procession just stopped because we were waiting on the choir to continue, and so I was stuck in the Holy Door. People are like, "You got stuck in the Holy Door?" Yes, I got stuck in the Holy Door because there I was right in the middle of it. It's all right. And I hoped that if I died at that moment that I would fall forward into mercy rather than back into judgment. It might be kind of nice to die falling through the Holy Door of mercy. But we We pray. Some people ask, well, what about a door? I mean, it's a door. What, you don't like actually get mercy by going through a door, do you? Well, in this year, we do have a special opportunity because there is actually the church offering a plenary indulgence, forgiveness of all temporal punishment due to sin, the time we would spend in purgatory, for this special outpouring of God's grace. One of the ways, it's just a door, that's true, but through the indulgences attached to it and the other places where we have holy doors and the various ways we can gain a plenary indulgence, it really is something special that not only do we hear the call of John the Baptist saying, repent, but especially now, don't wait at all. The year of mercy, I think it's a great time for us to reflect that, yes, every year is a year of mercy. God's mercy is always available. But just like John the Baptist kind of turned things up a little bit and said, no, it's serious, do it now, I think the year of mercy is a good call for all of us to say, don't put it off. You know, you wanna die going through the door on the way to mercy, not stuck back, say, no, not for me, I'll change later, I'll fix things later. It does give us a kind of an impetus to say, now's the time. I need to, just like they went out in the wilderness to John the Baptist and got baptized, I need to make some changes right now. Some people have remarked that they will think the year of mercy is somehow, well, I can stay in my sin and, you know, Jesus will have mercy on me. That I can keep doing everything I'm doing and it's okay because Jesus is merciful. Well, I mean, it is true, of course, Jesus is merciful. But not if we just think that we're going to hang out and keep sinning and not care. Jesus' mercy is not cheap. It came at the price of his death on the cross. And it is infinite. It will cover every sin we've ever committed. But we have to want it. And we have to do our part. We have to actually, as it were, walk through the door to say, yes, I want it. That means we can't take the year of mercy as an opportunity to just kind of hang back and say, well, everything's just okay. Rather, it should be an impetus driving us forward even more, saying, what ways do I need the mercy of God to come into my life and heal me? Where am I so stuck in sin that I don't even bother to think it could change? That is the great opportunity of the year of mercy. And not just for all of us here, but to go out, as Pope Francis says, to the peripheries, find those people that especially maybe despair that there is no hope for them. I think more than anything, that's what the year of mercy is about, what Pope Francis is trying to do. There are people that maybe are so stuck in sin that they wouldn't even think of coming in our church, that they think they are so far from Jesus that it would be impossible for them to even to begin to take the step. Those are the kind of people that were going to John the Baptist. They thought there is no hope. And then John the Baptist came and seemed to imply that maybe there was an opening, a door. I think that's what we have here. For us, certainly, go through the door, the literal holy door, if you can. But go through that door to take the next step in this life to say, there is no sin, there is no part of my life, no matter how dark, that I do not want the light of Christ to shine on it. We want Jesus and his mercy everywhere to purify us, not just for Christmas, but for a true new beginning in our life. And it's all possible. So we are incredibly grateful to our Holy Father for extending this beautiful gift, a special outpouring of the mercy of Jesus, the beautiful gift that the keys that were given to St. Peter by our Lord to bind and loose, that Pope Francis has chosen to use the power of the keys in a special way for the loosing of burdens in this year. I encourage you, don't miss it. Be bold. Hear the word of John the Baptist, repent. Hear the words of Pope Francis, mercy is available. And then, if we take advantage of that, then we have great cause to rejoice. Because we know that as big as our problems are, as big as our sins are, Jesus is bigger. His death is more powerful than Satan's control over our lives. And the only way we miss it is if we refuse to go forward. So go forward this Advent. Go through the door and then encounter anew the great rejoicing that is present in a life lived with Jesus. Rejoice. St. Paul, I say it again, rejoice.